Aman Ayadik, my name is Anders. Such a great weekend it has been. I have new friends. One friend that gave me snooze that I didn't expect to be that strong. I was like, had this nicotine rush out. I was. First and foremost, I need to qualify myself. Not disqualify myself, but I need to qualify so you understand that we are the same. I have never seen my parents drunk, but my mom had a tendency to take home people that was drunk. She was co-dependent to many men. But the most important thing is that I have ever felt comfortable in my own body. I always felt like I'm offside. You probably understand what I mean. Feeling so extremely low self-esteem and that kind of stuff. So my first drug was to steal candy to give away in the school to be liked by other schoolmates and that kind of stuff. And my mom get married to a man that didn't like me a lot, and he was really harsh, and he believed in punishment, like being, he hit me a lot. So when I was 11 years old, the welfare took me and placed me at a youth home. And I had that from 11 to 21. And we stole so many cars, and we didn't respect people's properties. And I don't have a solution for how it should be. And the court said, oh, you're so young, you don't understand what you do. But yes, I did. I gave them the finger. But there was a man, and I will talk about him a little bit later on. He saw me as the person I was. And he took me home to his family, and I can borrow records from him, and with Led Zeppelin and that kind of music. It grounded me as a rock and roll person. And it didn't end when I was 21. It's getting more worse than it was before, because I started to using needles and that kind of stuff. But the man that I talked about that lent me the records, he asked me, when are you going to be serious about your life? When are you going to take responsibility for your life? When I become a daddy, that was the reason I saw, because I didn't have a present daddy, and I didn't have any men except him or some other men that I felt like being good to me. So, and in 1993, I met a girl, and I was not clean. But I would love to be clean, but I expected other people to do it for me. And the more I promised to stay off the drugs, the more I used. We are like that. And the boy, his name is Rasmus. He's born in October 1994, and I was in prison. But something happened during that prison time. They said on the speakers on the say that the NA is here. You can come in the cafeteria and have coffee. So I went for the coffee and the coffee bread. But actually, there was a man that I had been using with that was there, and he was clean. So I got hope that maybe I can stay off drugs. So I was released a month later after that and started use again, of course. But I had this opportunity to go to a rehab center to clear my head and learn about this, what NA is. I didn't know anything. And And I started to go to meetings, and you guys that are new today are more fortunate than we was at that time, because there was no literature. It was just typewritten papers with Tippex on to remove errors and that kind of stuff. But when I went to that meeting, I felt so welcome. And in my head, they said, oh, how can they welcome me? They don't know who I am and what I have done. But they welcomed me. Oh, you can help me make some coffee and put the chairs in order and take away the ashtrays and that kind of stuff. And it was really amazing. And I got friends there. And for me, it was like, wow. I have never felt that friendship that I felt from those people. And I started to enjoying life. I went to many meetings, like 6, 7, 10 meetings a week. And we did stuff between the meetings. I have never felt that friendship before, because me and a friend, he had a car. I didn't have a driving license, and we had something called the NA ambulance. We have a friend that always felt bad, so we pick him up to a meeting, and we hang out, and we did so many crazy things, but we didn't use. But when I had like 1.5 years clean, maybe 2 years clean, I felt empty, but I was still clean. And I worked on a place. There are men called Matthias said, there is something on internet that says Narcotics Anonymous. It's like an electronic news board that you can post stuff on and ask for help and that kind of stuff. And in just that moment in my life, the World Convention was in Paris, 1995, I think it was, and they brought back speaker tapes. And for the first time, I heard what NA's message was, because the treatment center said to me, don't use, go to meetings, and whine on meetings as a complain. And I didn't have a God. I didn't understand. I hated God when I came, because I listened to death metal and that kind of stuff. And, but I had wrong about who God was, because I thought God was with Christianity, but it's not. It's God of my understanding. So I felt like, okay, I try. So I wrote and put it on a disc, so like that, a floppy disk, and had him at work to put it on a newsboard. I said, I want help. We don't have any literature in Swedish. There was a couple of pamphlets and that kind of stuff, but there was no books. There was no basic text. There was no Just for Today. There was no... And he said, yeah, I help you. So, and I send a box with tapes to you and some other stuff. Ah, yeah, okay. So, but I doubted that. But yes, he did. And it came, got this wonderful NA t-shirt with two guys that hugs. It was the most beautiful t-shirt I ever seen. And I need also to tell you, before we go on, when I relapsed and didn't take my responsibility, I hadn't no chance to see my boy. And I really wanted to do that. So when, in August that year, 1994, when I have like 6, 7 months, I got my boy back. I had him Tuesday to Wednesday and Thursday to Friday and every other weekend. And I brought him to meetings, I brought him to conventions, I brought him to many, many events that NA had. But the box came, and there was a couple of tapes and that t-shirt, and also his phone number. And my English is a little bit better today, but that was not good at that time. And I didn't understand the time difference between Sweden and USA, so I called and mumbled something in his answering machine that he harassed me with today. He plays it to me and laughs, because it was really bad. It was really, really bad. And the evening, he called me, and we spoke, and he said, I love you. Uh-oh. I never heard that before from a man. So I thought, what do you want with that? I didn't understand. But later on, we had 1997, we had this convention in Malmö called Svindlande Frihet. I don't know how to say it in Danish, but Astonishing Freedom. And he came with another speaker from the States. And we did a four-step, and he spoke, and we learned to know each other. And I asked him to be my sponsor. And he was my sponsor for 12 years or something. And he's still one of my best friends. I've been to States 4 or 5 times. Always crashed at his place. But the thing is, he taught me how to work the program, how to maintain my clean, to my recovery, how to maintain that, because it's not about going to meetings, it's just being a part of, a really part of, to welcome newcomers, doing service. And I know Denmark is really strong about H&I, and thank you for that, because you brought NA to me, and it was so wonderful, because it gave me hope. And life went on, and we started a youth group called Clean Team. I was 30 years or something like that, and we did really, really bad things at our area meetings. We came and we said to the old timers, you're wrong. We was not humble at all. We like the military. Have them walk the plank with sharks inside. There was no kindness in that. I regret that today because we didn't understand better. So life went on, and I started to have mature relationship with other people. And the thing is, no one had taught me about manners. I didn't know if I went to toilet on other people's houses and to clean after me and that kind of stuff with brush and that kind of stuff if I took a dump or something. No one had taught me. I learned it slowly. I was really confused but I loved NA. And NA meant the life for me. And I started to listen to speaker tapes and I passed it on to other people. It was wonderful. And we went to many, many, many conventions. And we picked up this with merchandise stuff. And I still do that because it's become a lifestyle. But the most important thing is that during this time, I raised my son. And I met a man and a woman at my home group, Bokatan. It's still my home group. I'm GSR there now. His name was Jorge. I can't say it in Spanish, but Jorge, yes. And he was the most loving man I ever met. He was kind. He accepted me, even if I was... I see myself in other newcomers. And I still love them because it's so important for me to have people feel they are welcome. It's really important for me. He had a son. The son's name was Sebastian. And he went out and in, out and in, out and in. And a couple of years later on, Jorge had this hepatitis C, so he got liver cancer. And he tried transplant the liver, but he died during this. And Anna, that was his girlfriend, moved back to Stockholm. And I still went to meetings in Bokatan. And as soon as we had that event or something, when we celebrated the group became a year older and that kind of stuff. I had Anna come and speak at our speaking jam or something. Oh, no. But 2015, I had her, okay, I'm coming, but I need to go to the grave. And he was buried in Malmö, so we went to the grave. And during that moment, grave, Jorge's sister came, and his Sebastian's cousin, and they was really sad because he said Sebastian was in this, I don't know, but rocker band. So they're criminal. They shoot at each other in Malmö, and it was AK-47 and hand grenades and cocaine and that kind of stuff. And we become really, really, really sad. And it was, so we put a turnip medallion on the grave, and was really sad. And we went back, and she shared her story about how life was and how it became now when she moved back to Stockholm. And it was really sad. But imagine that. 3 days later, they called me from the helpline of NA Sweden and asked me to take a newcomer to meeting. What's this guy? And I was driving my car and answered on the telephone. I was to put aside and park the car and started to cry because it was so, how could they know that we a couple of days earlier was there and felt sad about his life and that kind of stuff. And that guy celebrated 7 years clean for a couple of months ago. And he's my brother, and I was his sponsor for 5-7 years. And he's a copy of his dad. He's a very humble person and that kind of stuff. It's really nice. Life went on, conventions, meetings, work. And a couple of years ago, before the pandemic came, my son Rasmus, he was 25 years at that time. He asked me and said, "Dad, I have a drinking problem. I need to go to AA." Sorry, I said AA here. So I gave him a telephone number. And then pandemic came. And he forgot it during the pandemic. Now this a year ago, he called me and said, "I need that number. I still don't drink, but I need a number. I need a fellowship." So I gave him the number and called my sponsor, that's a Swedish guy, and said, "Do I need to control this?" so it works out all right. No, let God take care of this. Then a couple of months later, I have this premiere tickets to the movie The Northman with one of the Skarsgård guys. And I called him, I need to go to a meeting. Yeah, go to meetings. Good for you. And he still goes to meeting in another fellowship, of course, but it's good for him. And the thing is, I have brought him to many, many meetings, many conventions, and he felt comfortable among my friends. That are you. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to show him the right way. And I'm so excited about that he dared to ask me for help. So life went on, and I need to go back a bit because he was mama's boy. He always wanted mama. Papa was no good. So, but we had a good relationship. So I wanted, I heard that about if you have a girl, they love their dads. So I wished for a girl. And she was born, 2010. And she's my girl. She's a copy of me. When I fight with her, she's coming up to, she's going to be 12 years old in December, at the 13th of December, Lucia. And when I fight with her, that's fighting with myself. Same movements of the body, same voice, same temp, everything. She's a copy of me. And when she was born, she had this heart failure. It's a hole in her heart that was blow sound. And I have cried rivers for that. And now they discovered there was like kind of a piece of skin that covered the hole. So they need to do a surgery. So they did this. They cut up all whole. She's 11 years old. And open up the heart and patch the hole. And that was Monday. That was 3 weeks ago tomorrow. And it was a horrible day. But everything went well. And I have God in my life today. A God of my understanding. It has nothing to do with religion or something like that. But it's not my conscience. I can't explain, but it's something really, really nice that I can rely on, because I have many, many tough times the last year. About, I had this at my work. I work with autistic men and boys, and they can't talk. We're using pictures for communicate with them. And there was this violent situation when a guy hit my colleague, my co-worker, and there was this temp that works like, they're not employed, they are extra personal, and they stood there and looked on the situation, and I said, call and put on the alarm, you cunts. It was not the right word to say. So they terminated my employment. And I was really afraid a couple of days there, because, but I thought for myself, God haven't carried me around for this long just to abandon me right now. So I got a new job. So I work now at a place, it's like a prison for girls that the Sweden government takes away from the streets to force them to stop using. And it's like a prison. It's locked doors and that kind of stuff. But I have this tremendous fingertop känsla, like to communicate with people in a outside, that feel outside. So I really love my job, but I feel like now I need to go back to what I'm good at, to work with autistic people. I'm really good at that. So I seek a new job. So I start a new work the 10th of October, same day my boy celebrates 29 years clean, 29 year. Nice. He's not clean, but... And I feel really, you see, God is the best thing that happened to me, because I couldn't stay clean. I have so much things to be grateful for. Always, when I have a bad day, I always forget and are ungrateful for stuff that happens to me. So for me, it's... I need to take care of the relationship I have with a higher power. It still tastes shit in my mouth when I say the word God. Good. It's okay. Because in the early days, on the posters that I was on the wall, it was like highlighted and like 3D. I hated God. I was not comfortable with a higher power, but today I am really, really comfortable with the word of God. And I don't go to church because I don't need to. I have my God in my heart. I have so many things that has happened during my clean time. So I remember first time I was going to Mike in States. I was like convicted, and I had 2-3 years clean or something when I went there first time, 4 or 5 maybe. And I was really afraid because when I come to the customs, there was this border police that took my passport and went on to the computer, and I was white in my face. I was really afraid. Uh-oh. But it was no problem. And we went to... So life has been so extraordinary. So And I don't want to take these war stories, but there is war stories in the room that I can tell about, because when you are involved in service as a group member or area member or region member, it's been so, people are so nice. To the region service, I was the secretary for NA Sweden in 3 years. And it was the best school I ever gone to, because it was, I learned a lot. I got new friends, and they accepted me for the guy I am. And life is taking turns that you can't expect. So people say, expect miracles, and that's so true. And pain is real, but so is hope. I remember the last year I was secretary for NA Sweden. I had this opportunity from my little girl's mom to... She was a health freak. She did yoga and living... Yeah, and she is also an NA member. She wanted me to stop with poisons. So she changed coffee to non-caffeine coffee, and I started to get headaches. And she also said, if you stop with snus, her dad is a millionaire, and I have my dad to pay for the dentist for you. And it was a deal that I couldn't resist, because dentist is expensive. So I stopped. And I started to use snus again this year, a couple of months ago. And I'm really grateful for that. I used non-nicotine and tobacco stuff and put it, because I needed to have something. And that already, that expensive as really snus is as well. So I started to... And it was Sebastian, the guy that had 7 years clean, that gave me the first one. And I'm grateful for that, because I have missed something in my life. And I'm really grateful, because I need this. But, yes. But I stopped with nicotine on the last region service meeting, and I was really angry. I was a pain. People. But I managed to stay it off 11 years. And I'm glad that I started again. I feel like I'm so grateful for being a part of, to be a productive member of society. I have this company that come here and sell stuff to you, but I pay taxes and I pay all the stuff, because that's what's expected of me. And I don't laugh on the way to the bank, because it's income, it's outcome as well. Much bills and that kind of to pay. But what it gives to me is the opportunity to come out and meet you. If there's some... I'm just one of the guys that are blessed to have a program. And we all are. And if you knew and doubt that you are on the wrong place, I can assure you, you are on the right place. This is the place. This is, it's a friendly fellowship. But there is rotten eggs among us as well, of course. But we need to accept people as they are. And among the love we give them, they grow. Because I didn't have a wish to stay clean when I came. I just wanted to ease the pain because it was so painful. Because it always ended at Yale. Always ended at Yale. And I didn't understand that I had a disease that if I take the first one, I can't stop. It's like an animal inside me. And you were so fantastic to talk to me about this. I didn't understand, but I could relate to, So my biggest thing is, don't take the first one. That's the issue here. Even if the ass falls off, don't take the first one. If your ass falls off, put it in a brown paper bag and take it to a meeting, and we teach it to sit properly. That's what I heard. And I'm so... I am with peace with those old-timers in Sweden now, but I was not friendly in the beginning because I thought they did it wrong because no one worked the steps when I came. No one knew anything about how to work the program. I learned it from Mike, and Mike said, you need to be forgiving for people because they didn't have the same opportunity. And I have seen the basic take game, I've seen just for today game, it works how why come, living cleaner come in Swedish. I have seen all this stuff, and it's amazing. Today it's a program that are available for people. So I'm a fucking miracle because I didn't understand and I didn't want to stay clean. But I wanted to be a dad and a present dad. And the thing is, to my little girl, that was a copy of me, I am a better dad to her than I was to my boy because I'm more present today. I have grown in my recovery and my... So I suffer from something called emotional incontinence. I feel like when I talked about Sebastian here, I get overwhelmed about the feelings of what I've been through, and I'm so grateful for that. I feel I'm thirsty. I met Fredrik at Bragdøya, that I see is the best convention in the world. I've been to many world conventions. I've been to many conventions. But Bragdøya, that's the shit. The Norwegians are so fucking friendly. And they are so happy. I said the week, it rained all week. But they was cheerful. And the feeling at that island... You must go there. I said that's the best thing ever. It can't be better than that. And it's a one-week convention on an island. You need to camp, or if you're lucky, you can have a cabin that you can put a Amazon or something. Now this year they have beds in that cabin, so tent beds. And it's amazing. They have this memorial service for people that died in the disease of addiction. And they're friendly. And it's friendly for kids. It's the best. So I feel... I don't have that much more to say. I don't know how long I've spoken. But this is my story. And I'm just a guy that are happy to be among you because my friends. I met many good friends this weekend, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. not even on a flag.